Chapter 7.
Curse him!
Darren shouted to the heavens.
Curse him and his name!
He looked around for something to break, found his chamber pot, and sent it crashing against his apartment wall.
May his insides rot and drain from every hole in his body!
He kicked over his nightstand, scooped it up by the legs, and dashed it against the floor again and again until it broke apart in his hands. And still his anger was not satiated. He rushed to his window, yanked down the curtains, and ripped them to shreds with his teeth. At length, his strength spent and his jaws aching, he lumbered to his bed and collapsed upon it.
How I hate him,
he droned wearily.
Thoroughly, completely, and also a lot.
He was exhausted, but sleep eluded him. His thoughts kept returning to the events of the day. In his mind's eye, he saw his brother standing over him, triumphant in spite of his efforts, Bandadon's regent, Bandadon's next king.
No!
cried Darren.
I refuse to accept it!
Anger surged in him once more, and he struck his mattress repeatedly with his fists.
How I hate him! Hate him! Hate him! Hate him! Hate him! Hate him!
By now he was quite out of breath. He lay without moving for a long time, staring at the ceiling, lost between the past and the present.
This can't be, he said to himself. I'm not supposed to suffer such humiliation. I'm a prince, for heaven's sake.
He grabbed a pillow and hugged it. The satin cover felt cool and smooth against his cheek. This prompted him to gaze at all the other lush appointments about the room, at least the ones he had not destroyed, and it occurred to him that, even though he had spent most of his life in his brother's shadow, being a prince had its share of advantages. What will become of me now? Thought Darren. I'm no good at providing for myself. I need someone to dress me, feed me, pull my covers down at night. Suddenly he saw himself cast adrift in the outside world, among peasants and other dreary sorts. He saw himself eating gruel and stale bread and washing them down with dish water. He saw himself huddled upon the cold, hard ground, his only company being the lice he carried, his only protection against the elements being his tattered cape that once was trimmed with gold.
I can't let that happen,
said Darren, bolting upright, his eyes wide with fear.
Why, I won't last 2 weeks out there.
He began to gnaw on his pillow, racking his brain for a solution. But nothing came to him, and in a tormented rage, he threw the pillow across the room with all his might.
Exile me, will he?
Cried Darren, leaping to his feet. He ravaged the immediate area, tearing his sheets, his mattress.
Kick me out, will he?
He rushed to a chair and lifted it above his head and was about to smash it upon the floor when something caught his eye. He stood for a moment, completely arrested, the chair poised above his head. What is that? He dropped the chair and crossed to the fireplace, kicking the pillow out of his path. He stared at the empty hearth, and his eyes widened somewhat with interest. The back wall of the hearth was slightly ajar. He bent low and leaned inside the fireplace, his head directly beneath the flue. He touched the wall, and it swung inward easily, noiselessly, revealing darkness behind.
Of course, said Darren, the passageway.
Apparently, when he had thrown the pillow against the fireplace mantel, it had tripped the locking mechanism. He had not thought of it in years. Built as an escape route for the king and his family against the castle being stormed, it ran behind the royal chambers and tunneled under the city wall. As a boy, he had often used it late at night to sneak into Brian's room and short-sheet his brother's bed. He stepped back, bumping his head on the edge of the flue.
Ouch!
Said Darren, annoyed. That hurt! He sat upon his haunches, rubbing the base of his skull. It was then his eyes went wide and his mouth fell open, for the bump had inspired an idea. The more he explored it, the more convinced he was of its brilliance. He hastened to his mirror, which was the first thing he smashed upon entering the room. Though it was now ribboned with countless interlacing cracks, he could still see his reflection, and presently this made him smile. Had he not impersonated Bryant once before? What was to prevent him from doing it again, this time permanently? He thought about his brother, specifically the way he behaved before the court, always acting reserved, always keeping to himself. Who could say they really knew him, other than his friends, of course? But this he saw not as a problem. Any differences they noticed in him he could blame upon the stresses of ruling the kingdom. He went to the embrasure and took the chill night air deep into his lungs, feeling powerful again, invigorated. Oh, how he loved it when inspiration struck him! Was there anything more thrilling? A devious smile curled his lips. All that was necessary for the plan to succeed was for the real Bryant to be eliminated. "That's it," cried Darren as loudly as he dared. "That's the solution." His spirits soaring, he danced about the room, spinning round and round, feeling exultant, giddy, even euphoric. And it was then a new thought struck him, one that was even more uplifting. He slowed to a halt, breathing heavy, and a lean, hungry look spread across his face. "And when I'm king, when I'm Bryant, Mayanne will be my wife." He waited long past the changing of the guard and the watchman's early morning inspection of the royal corridor. He waited long past the castle steward and the scullery maid had rotated new torches along the wall and placed clean rushes upon the hallway floor. He waited long past their hushed and heated groping, long past their departure, and long past the newness of the silence that had followed. It was the hardest thing he had ever done, but he knew the wait was worth it, and when at last the time was right, he grabbed a lit candle and his dagger, then crawled through the fireplace and into the passageway. The air within was stale. Cobwebs laced the ceiling where it joined the walls. He padded softly, though he knew he was surrounded by thick stone that muffled any sounds he made. He shivered, but it was more from excitement than the cold. There were times when he knew his schemes would work, even before they had actually succeeded. Killing his brother and stealing his identity went so far beyond the realm of decency, it could not possibly fail. No one would think him capable of such deceit. But of course, there was no level to which he could not sink when it came to his own gratification. He located the entrance to Brian's room, slipped his dagger through his belt, and blew out the candle. The smell of melted tallow wafted under his nose. The darkness was absolute now, save for the tiny glow from the candle's wick, and were this any other time, he would have been screaming.
Darren hated the dark.
Feeling along the rough stone, he found the edge and, holding his breath, pulled the secret door open. Thanks to the architect, it moved silently in his hands. The hearth was now in front of him, deep in shadow, well swept. A cool draft from the chimney above him brushed his cheek. Darren peeked inside. Directly across from the fireplace stood his brother's empty bed. But where was Bryant? He swung the wall inward, widening the crack, and he was about to take a bolder look when, without warning, Bryant strolled past the fireplace. Darren swung the wall shut, nipping his fingertips.
"Hang them all! He's awake!"
This was not how he had planned things. At this late hour, his dullard brother should have been in bed, his head full of dull, unimaginative dreams. He waited for what seemed an eternity, hoping Bryant had at last fallen asleep. He stole another careful look. After pulling the stone inward, he spied his brother on the far side of the room, standing on his balcony.
"Hang them all a second time! Didn't the man ever tire?"
Darren sat back on his haunches. He had hoped to strike a quick and easy blow, but now it seemed no longer possible. In fact, it seemed more likely there would be a struggle. He knitted his brow. Could he handle a struggle? Bryant was strong, and Nightshade's antidote had put him through quite an ordeal. Instead of his brother, he himself might be killed. Darren frowned. Dying was not what he had in mind. But then he thought of his future, saw it as a storm-tossed sea washing over him and dragging him to its dark and frigid depths. Anger surged in him, anger fused with wild abandon. So what if I'm killed, thought Darren. So what if that happens? If I allow myself to be banished, I'll surely die any number of ways. Be it villainy along the road, exposure to the elements, or worse still, as the main course for some forest beast. He took a moment to picture each. Well then, brother, if that is the case, I have nothing left to lose. Hang caution, hang convention, and, as the herdsmen say, let the chips fall where they may. His determination renewed, he opened the secret door. Bryand stared at the kerchief in his hands, Mian's kerchief. Without it, he would never have won the joust. Much had happened afterwards, a tumult of sights and sounds, subjects bowing before him, advisers rushing to his sides, lords and knights swearing their allegiance or pledging him their swords. And all the while he wanted only to find Mian. He saw her on the fringe of the confusion, waving, trying earnestly to catch his attention. He waved back, his heart quickening at the sight of her. He fought against the advancing crowd, getting close enough to touch her fingertips before being swept along by the human tide. A procession followed, courtly duties, and then a council session that had lasted long into the night. The watch had already changed when they had adjourned. He had considered knocking on her door, but trusting she was already asleep, he did not want to disturb her. Besides, the words he wanted to say were so elusive, perhaps some day they would flow more easily. Bryand massaged his hand. The feeling had returned a few hours ago. Only a slight tingling lingered. He looked out at the slumbering city that stretched before him. It had grown since he was a boy, acres beyond the old stone walls. A cool breeze, pungent with the smell of roasted meat, drifted up from the ward below. He knew the kitchen workers would already be hard at work, preparing food for the next day's feast. He heard a soldier humming atop the battlement, like as not to keep awake, and somewhere in the city a hungry infant cried. It occurred to him he had the opportunity to do so much for his people. The council was the first step. Together they would establish trade and develop industry. Perhaps there might be even time for finer things, building upon what his mother had started. Enlightenment! That was the key to longevity. He had studied the histories of other kingdoms. Steeped in violence and ignorance, they had withered just as quickly as they had bloomed. But that would not be Bandadon's fate. Her walls would withstand the test of time. The night sky was clear and studded with a myriad of stars. He gazed at it, feeling a sense of peace, ready to take on the challenges of creating a new age. Yet there was one thing that still plagued him. Darren. He wondered if he had done the right thing by granting him his life. His father would have executed him on the spot, but he was not his father. He could not begin his reign with his brother's blood upon his hands. He was glad he had been merciful, for his mother's sake as well as his own. But more than anything else, he wanted to think that by granting Darren his life, he had taken the first small step toward enlightenment. Thus occupied, he was unaware that someone stood behind him, the one person able to slip into his shadow without distorting it. He heard a muffled thump. This he quickly associated with the pain sweeping up the back of his head, and the last thing he saw was a dazzling conflagration before the sky emptied of all its stars. Darren stood over his brother, looking down at his dagger. Not a drop of blood blemished the blade. At the last moment, to his own surprise, he had turned the dagger around and knocked Bryand unconscious with the hilt. Why he had allowed such a perfect opportunity to escape him was something he himself did not understand. Perhaps, no, don't even think such a thing, but he could not shake the thought. Perhaps, being his twin, there was a little bit of Bryand also in him. Oh, he shuddered and stared at his brother. Hate surged in him renewed, but this time it was not so much for Brian as it was for the weakness in himself. He raised the dagger over his head. "I'll do it," he said aloud. "I will." But seeing Brian below him, his face the mirror image of his own, he could not go through with the deed. He lowered the dagger, backed up against the wall, and sank to the floor. He ran his hands through his hair, feeling desolate and forlorn. "What kind of villain am I?" asked Darren to himself. "It must be true, then. There must be some of Bryant in me after all." He had never felt so depressed, so weary. His life had never looked so bleak. He was trudging off to his room, ready to start packing, when a new thought struck him and made him pause. Even if he had killed Bryant, would that have made up for all the years of living in his shadow? And he realized the answer was no. He wanted Bryant to suffer more than just death. He wanted Bryant's suffering to be endless. Would it not be sweeter revenge to keep him alive, assume his identity, and banish Bryant in his stead? Wait, wait, thought Darren. Where is the logic in that? Bryant would never be silent. Knowing him, he would raise an army with the help of his friends and be back on the throne within a fortnight. Darren shook his head, depressed once more. No, for such a plan to succeed, Brian would have to be sequestered and kept under lock and key. Darren perked up at the thought. So what's wrong with that? He paused to consider, picturing his brother chained to the wall, surrounded by vermin and decay. "That's it," said Darren aloud. "That's the answer." He would have his brother thrown into the deepest, darkest hole in the ground. He was sure the dungeon had a lower level. He began to pace, excited now, thinking of all the years Brian would suffer. He would steal everything that belonged to him. His identity, his throne, Mian. And the best part of the plan would be the pleasure he would receive flaunting it all in Brian's face. He jumped to his feet, knowing he had to work fast. He tiptoed to the chamber door and inched the bolt into place. Then, returning to the balcony, Darren dragged his brother into the room. He stripped Brian of his clothes, chuckling, so very pleased with himself. He removed his own, then dressed once more, this time in Brian's outfit. Darren stood before his brother's mirror. He frowned, though why he did not know. The man before him looked like Brian. The tailoring was exact. Every seam lay in place. But despite looks, despite his daring, he knew there was something wrong with the plan.
Apart from it being unethical.
He stared at his reflection. Behind it, he could also see the dagger on the floor. An idea came to him. He knew immediately it was perfect, though for once he found no satisfaction in this. He took up the dagger. A wound was in keeping with the plan, a wound that would convince people of his sincerity. He peered at the blade, noting its length and the way it tapered to a needle-like point. But he no longer intended to use it on Brian. Now he intended to use it on himself. He was about to make an outrageous claim, one that would be disputed by his brother even from as far away as his dungeon cell. People would hear things, they always did. What better way to establish his innocence and galvanize the court's support than by suffering a grievous wound? He knew he had to act quickly, before the voice in his head convinced him otherwise. The words "dumb idea" had already come to mind. He dressed Brian quickly, then went to his brother's wardrobe and removed a kerchief. "Dumb idea" appeared again, only this time in bolder letters. "No one's arguing the point," said Darren to himself, stuffing the kerchief into his mouth. He turned the dagger's blade inward. His hand trembled. He felt squeamish and he cringed. "Do it," thought the prince. "You've got to do it." So he shut his eyes tightly, bit down on the cloth, and stabbed himself just above his left breast. His face contorted as pain streaked down his arm and across his chest. He felt like he was going to faint. He sucked in his breath, bit down on the cloth once more, and pulled the dagger out. This sent him to his knees, with tears spilling down his cheeks. "Boy," he thought, "the things I do to get attention." Fighting oblivion, he struggled to his feet, then staggered to his brother's table. He clung to it as a new spasm gripped him. When it subsided somewhat, he spit out the kerchief.
Right, he thought. Now I know why I'm not a soldier.
The room was spinning, his breathing labored. Clutching his arm, he stumbled to Bryant and collapsed by his side with a grimace. He placed the dagger in his brother's hand.
That was a terrible thing you tried to do,
said Darren, curling Brian's fingers around the hilt.
I'm surprised at you.
Well, actually, I'm more surprised at me. Summoning all his will, he stood again, and with one last exacting effort, kicked over the furniture.
Help!
Cried Darren at the top of his voice.
Guards! Guards! Help me!
He heard them approaching.
Put down that knife, Darren!
Yelled the prince as he sank against his brother's footboard.
You're making a very poor choice!
By this time, the guards were smashing against the door. At last, the bolt gave way, and four yeomen, members of the king's personal guard, burst into the room. Darren pointed limply at his brother.
The prince! He tried to kill me!
He indicated the secret passageway.
I think he came from there.
Just then, Bryant began to stir, and the buzzing in his ears turned to real conversation. Opening his eyes, he found himself surrounded by his guards, being roughly pulled to his feet.
What's going on here?
Said the prince, dazed. What is it? What has happened? But to this they did not respond. Instead, he heard his own voice say,
See you. He holds the dagger still.
Something was slapped from his hand and clattered on the floor. He looked up and saw his brother's face.
What are you doing here?
Take him to the dungeon, said Darren contemptuously.
And be quick about it. I do not wish to look upon him any longer.
Still dazed, his head pounding, Bryant took in the scene. He realized what was happening.
Wait, wait,
said the prince, terror gripping him. He tried to break free, but the guards held him fast.
Wait,
you don't understand.
Silence him,
said Darren, fuming.
I will not hear another word from his lips.
A gag of sorts was shoved into his mouth, and he was led through the crowd that had gathered in the hall. Bryant caught sight of the queen and began to struggle more, but rather than look at him, she stared at the floor, and soon was weeping in her hands. King Jasper remained by his door and cast him a stony glance, while Mian, ignoring him completely, rushed past and entered the royal chamber. Even Cower, loyal Cower, went by him without a word.
My lord, my dearest,
said Mian, kneeling by Darren's side. When her gaze fell upon his shoulder, she gasped, and tears sprang to her eyes.
Dearest gods, you're hurt!
She turned to Cower.
Hurry, quickly, get Lystilis. Get whatever physicians you can find.
What?
Said Darren weakly.
Did you say I'm hurt?
He looked down and saw the crimson stain above his breast.
Wait, is that my blood?
Aye, my lord,
replied Mian, barely able to speak. He nodded.
I thought so. What a shame.
And with that, his eyes rolled up into his head, and all things, sight, sound, even pain, faded into nothingness.